Welcome to season 3 of the Fit Farming Food Mom podcast. I am Connie Nightingale, a former bodybuilder, certified personal trainer and nutritionist with an extreme passion for functional health and fitness. There is a huge problem these days with the standard health narrative. The current allopathic medicine, fitness theories, and nutrition guidelines are completely missing the mark. Through this podcast, I have been able to get uncensored, unfiltered knowledge out to the masses to help anyone. No matter if you're an average Joe or an elite athlete, I want to provide you with valuable knowledge to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Remember, the best way to support this podcast is leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes and sharing with your friends and family or tagging me in your stories or posts on social media. Let's get this health movement out to others. Thank you so much again for joining me. Now let's get to the show. Hi friends, welcome back to another episode. I am super excited today to be welcoming Jennifer Thompson on the podcast. I met her at a strength conference last year and we hit it off and have been friends ever since. Little did I know at the time when I met her that she has a lot going on and she is one incredible lady. She is an 11-time powerlifting world champion and the current bench press world record holder. But not only that, she's a high school teacher and a busy mom. And so today we talk about all things female and fitness and momming on the podcast with somebody who is an elite strength athlete and has had to learn to manage all of those things in one place. So we also talk about the stigma of females and fitness, and there's just a lot of great pearls on this podcast, and I think that you're really going to enjoy it. Before we get up and running with this podcast, if you are a listener of this podcast regularly, you know that I am a huge fan of electrolytes. LMNT in particular. Why? Because they're full of sodium, potassium, and magnesium, and they have no artificial sweeteners or regular sugars, because if you know me, you know I'm not a huge fan of tons of sugar. It has its place. But for me, I want to be sipping on something that I can comfortably be sipping on and not worry about the sugar content. And then another thing is, if you know, I previously was in dentistry, and sipping on things that are full of sugar is awful for your teeth as well. So just going to throw that in there, basic health tidbits, but huge fan of LMNT. Rob Wolf is doing some amazing things with his company. They are out of Kalispell, Montana, or that's where he resides at. Anyway, they are coming out with a grapefruit flavor, and hopefully by the time this podcast airs, it will be available, but their products are amazing, and I love to give them to my kids. I can comfortably give them to them without giving them a bunch of sugar. Great for their soccer games, all of the stuff. They just ran a Spartan race last week, and my family was fueled with LMNT. Anyway, if you want to try it out, you can get a full free sample pack that has my favorite flavors, including chocolate, over at drinklmnt.com/Connie. That will get you set up for that free sample pack so you can also give their amazing products a try. Well, that's the spiel, that's the 411, that's the everything that I like to talk about that has helped me with my health and fitness journey. I'm done giving you the spiel on that. Now here is my podcast with Jennifer Thompson.
Uh-oh.
All right, Jen, I'm super excited to have you here. We actually connected at a strength conference that I went to last year. We've been chitty-chatting back and forth ever since. I went on your podcast recently, and so I wanted to have you on mine today.
I feel like we're good friends now.
I know. It's kind of exciting. I like it. So
it's fun how social media can do that for you. It's like, I can see what you're doing and then I could post a couple comments on it, go back and forth. It's like we're talking throughout the day, but not really.
I know. Well, and it's been actually really cool because a lot of the women that I met at that conference, we still chat pretty on the regular, and like, we're all like, yeah, nice PRs. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really too into powerlifting when I went to that conference. I'm just into working out, period. And so I like strength stuff. And I was like, sweet, yeah, I'll just go and check this out. And then, I mean, I've always liked powerlifting, just never got to that phase yet, you know? And then I was like, oh, I should be doing this.
just need a small bite, and that was all. And now she's in like a open bag pet shirt. You went from not wanting to be for powerlifters to like the extreme. Yeah. In like a matter of a year.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how I am. It's like,
yeah, it's okay. That's good.
Full throttle or coasting, one or the two. There's no like doing the speed limit in between.
Right. I'm in or I'm out. One or the other. You don't go halfway.
One of my clients asked me today, she's like, are you like an all or nothing kind of person? And I was like, oh, I am 100% guilty about that. And yeah. I think there's a truth to that too, with people that are like athletes to the core, you know, I think you kind of have to have that in order to be successful in whatever you try to tackle though.
I know. It's like I was doing like a strict curl. Mm-hmm. And I posted it, and there's actually, I didn't even realize this. There's actually like a Strict Curl Nation organization, and they have events at the Arnold, and they're inviting me to come do that. And I'm like, I could do that. Like, I could totally do that. Let's just add this in too, because this sounds awesome.
That's awesome. Well, you're going to probably go down there anyway, knowing you. So that'd be perfect.
Yeah. I'm like, let's go.
That's awesome.
You never know where life will leave you.
Exactly. Well, first of all, we probably ought to get started with who you are and what you do and what you're known for.
Okay. Well, I'm Jen Thompson. I'm actually a high school teacher. I teach part-time, half days at high school. I taught full days. And then when we decided to bring kids into the mix, I went to half days. I teach high school. This is my 25th year of teaching. So I've been doing it for a while. But I'm probably best known for my bench press. I've won the World Powerlifting Championships 4 times, and I've won the World Bench Press Championships 7 times. And I'm current world record holder with 320 in the 138-pound weight class. So
yeah. So what she's saying, is she's kind of like a big deal, but she's not saying that, you know, and it was funny because when we met, I didn't realize I was talking to a big deal. And I just did my general thing that I do, which is I'm like the social butterfly and everybody gives me heck about it. But you and I, we hit it off. We all went to lunch. We're all chatting and everybody wants their picture with you and stuff. And I'm like, who is this lady? You know? So then I look you up on Instagram and I'm like, holy crap. Hanging out with like the powerlifting celebrity here.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a while. I mean, my very first competition was in 1999, so you know, that's there's some years in there, and I've seen it really grow and change, and it's really in a good place right now. So I'm pretty excited I got to be, I guess, a part of that, and I hope that I kind of helped it grow and blossom into what it is today for women. Because when I first started, like, we couldn't even fill a weight class up with women. Like, we were, when we would go to a competition, we'd be the very first day, very beginning, they'd get us out of the way in like an hour, and then the real stuff would start. And now we're in prime time, you know, spots. And I know our membership with USA Powerlifting right now is about 60-40, 60 men, 40 women, which it was probably maybe 20-80 when I started. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's so awesome. And it's great. I actually recall I did a powerlifting meet in high school, bench only. And I remember there was only 3 girls there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it
was, it was a small, small group of people. And back then, I mean, I don't know what our age difference is, but back in 1999, they still thought, you know, women would look like men if they touched weights, you know, you just didn't see that many women in the free weight area anymore. And so there's still that kind of stigma that went with it, which I think is far less now that we have so many great examples of that prove that's not true. But back then it was still like, even my own father, you know, talking about families a minute ago, my own father. So like, you are not lifting weights. No girl, no daughter of mine's going to look like a man, is what he said to me. I'm like, dad. And my dad, you know, I knew he's very like old fashioned anyway. And this was when I was in college. I'm like, well, you really can't tell me what to do anymore. So
I think I'm
just going to go with this. But now he's like the guy in the front row cheering. You know, I was kind of like the boy he always wished he had. You know, he always wanted my brother to be like this huge athlete, you know, and it never happened. It was his girls that were the athletes.
That's awesome. That's way cool. Well, so the crazy thing is so you have like, you have this huge powerlifting following, you have your own app, you coach, And you're also working at your regular day job too, girl. You got a lot of things going on.
Oh yeah. But you know, it's all like fun things I enjoy doing, like teaching, you know, as much as it is a job and it doesn't pay anything, I enjoy going every day. I really like it, you know, so I, you know, it is a job, but, and there's a lot of different hats that I wear, but I feel like I manage it fairly well. And it always is good to have a supportive family. So
trying to balance that with training at the level that you're training at, and then having a family and all of that kind of stuff, what does that look like?
It's a little, well, I almost want to say it's easier now that my kids are teenagers, but maybe not. It's just like their activities got, like farther away and require more time. When they were little, like because we lived it in our house, like the kids would just run around the gym while we worked out. You know, they thought it was a playground. You know, I have pictures of, we had like exercise bands hanging down from the squat rack for bands. And my son Tucker would put one leg in each one and jump up and down and pretend he was Superman. And just, they had a riot in there while we were trying to get our workouts. And it was a little disjointed, you know, trying to watch them and work out at the same time. And then when they got more middle school, they started working out with us more, which was way more fun. They'd, you know, work out maybe an hour, we'd do 2 hours, so they'd make it there for the first part. But now that they're in high school, you know, they have the high school workouts, they don't work out with us as much anymore. But then we have a lot of, like, they both play baseball, they both power lift, and so now there's like, it's just, how do we structure our workouts? Are like fluid. We have to constantly change them based around like when the baseball games are, or, you know, when this event is. And so, just have to be really flexible.
Well, and I see you guys having flex offs on Instagram and stuff like that. It's like, who's going to get the most reps out of this one, you think? You know, like, you guys, everything's a competition at your house. Oh, I can see that.
Well, we have this like motto that everything's a competition and it should be. That's like the Thompson family motto. Yeah. It's actually a thing.
That's and sometimes awesome.
I'll be like, you guys don't have to, like, you know, compete over that. And they're like, Mom, everything's a competition. I'm like, but it's like dessert. Like, just let it go, you know.
Sounds like, no. Oh my goodness. It sounds like my husband. He's like, does everything have to be a competition to you, or can you just go do it? And I was like, well, I mean, I like to work out, but I just want to compete when I'm working out too.
Right. Like, I'll go into a workout, like if I'm super tired, like I didn't sleep the night before, and then you got all these appointments and errands and work and everything. And I know I got to get my training in. I'll go in like to get myself in. I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to get some light set work in, and then that'll be good. And then I'll start going. And then before you know it, I'm full on workout mode. Like, I'm PRing, you know, like, there is no just go in and just kind of, you know, make your way through a few reps. I tell myself that, but it never ends up that way.
Well, so that's a funny thing that you mentioned that, because I actually do that with a lot of my clients. I say, listen, if you don't feel like you're going to the gym, just go and do the compound movement. I have it outlined in your program. Just go in, do that one thing, and then leave. Well, the thing is I feel like 9 times out of 10, if they go to do that, they get into their workout and then they're like, okay, I'm in now. Yeah. The endorphins are flowing.
Half the problem was just getting yourself there because you were feeling tired. But once you get your blood going and stuff, and you get in your zone, then it's like, okay, game on, let's go. You just need to get over that small hump.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I want to talk about this a little bit. So being a female and being into the gym and fitness and all of that kind of stuff, I feel like a lot of judgment gets placed on moms. Like, especially you hear it so often. There are people are like, well, I'd go to the gym, but I don't want to leave my kids alone. Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to be selfish. I mean, so how do you feel about that? How does that look in your life? And how do you feel that you have thought about that?
Well, it definitely was like, I would hear more things like when the kids were younger, you know, for sure. And like, my older son, Tucker, we adopted him from St. Petersburg, Russia, when he was 10 months old and brought him home. And he, like, I don't know if this is Russian genetics or what, but he's always been like stacked in muscle. Like, even when he was 2, like, he had delts, he had pecs, he had abs, like crazy shit. And it was super active. He would, like, if you turned your head, he was 100 feet up in a tree. Like, just, he was nuts. But I would hear like mothers make comments about him, like when we were at the community pool, or that, like, you know, I was probably giving my kids steroids or making them work out or giving them too much protein and stuff like that. And I got to, and I sort of hate myself for doing this, but I would have them wear swim shirts just because I didn't want him to hear them say that. I didn't want him to feel bad. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, he was like, he is an extraordinary kid. And he just doesn't care what people think. And I'm so happy for him. He's like, I don't care. Like, it'll just be sitting there, be flexed and look at this. You know? So there was, you know, there was a little bit of that. And they weren't like close friends, of course, saying things like that. But in reality, when you really look at what we do, we don't spend all, I mean, it's watching an hour long show. Mm-hmm. On TV. Instead Absolutely. Of doing that, we go to the gym. We used to have some friends, they love to golf. And they're like, I don't understand why you guys go and work out like that. I'm like, I don't understand why you spend 4 hours on a golf course. That is insane amount of time and extremely boring. Mm-hmm. And we're only going for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, you're going for four. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just perspective on some of that things. And so sometimes you just have to set them straight. But in reality, you have to know that you're doing a good job. You're setting a good example for your kids. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my kids feel like that too. I mean, they go to school at the school I teach at, which is, I think, sometimes hard, but sometimes not so hard too at the same mm-hmm. time, you know, cause they can hear what the other kids say about me, or if they're upset with me or whatever. Most of them are just scared of me. I don't know why, cause I don't feel like I look like I'm a frightening person, but when you put all those accolades, you know, and the stories like grow, like all of a sudden I picked a kid up and I threw him across the room, you know, cause I'm so strong and stuff like that. It just gets a little crazy and it makes me laugh, you know? But I mean, yeah, I mean, in the end, you kind of, I think sometimes just have to put on your goggles and just look at what's important and tone out the other stuff. Cause mm-hmm. in reality, I think most of the time people that say things like that are really just jealous. Uh-huh. They're jealous. They don't have the motivation to go do that, or just maybe the self-confidence to go do that, to mm-hmm. set that kind of example. I think really what comes down to that is they're a little bit jealous that you're taking that step in that role mm-hmm. and they're not. So they're going to kind of bring you down by making you feel like you're not spending enough time with your kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that has been a pretty common thing that's been brought up, especially with my athletics and stuff like that. And they're, you know, but the thing we have to keep in mind is that what kind of example are we setting for our kids? Mm-hmm. None of us as a parent want our kid to be a couch potato doing nothing. We want them to be out and doing athletic things and, mm-hmm. and pushing the limits a little bit and getting uncomfortable, because I think that's a really hard thing, right? In life is trying to get uncomfortable. People are doing it less and less. Because of that, they're not thriving.
They're not. And I get it. As a parent, it's hard. You don't ever want your kid to feel heartache or feel bullied or feel put down by people. But you're not doing them any favors by hiding from those things. You know, you got to teach them how to deal with things like that, because that's life, right? Mm-hmm. So my kids have had to learn to deal with their mom being this way, you know, I don't look like the other moms, you mm-hmm. know, I don't look anywhere near like the other moms. Uh-huh. And they've come to, I think, be more proud of that than be ashamed of it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would agree with you on that. I mean, it makes me happy now. I used to be so worried about it when my kids were younger, and now mm-hmm. I see what they're doing. And I mean, they're thriving, and like, they want to work out. They want to be fit. Crud, my 15-year-old is counting his food to make sure he gets enough, you know, uh-huh. like everyone's like, oh, are you going to make him orthorexic because you're making him count his food? And I'm like, no, like he wants uh-huh. to understand that he's getting the proper nutrition in. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
It's actually amazing, honestly. I mean, because if you look at our society and our kids as a whole, majority of them are overweight or obese mm-hmm. and not active. And, they really need to start paying more attention to what they're eating. I mean, they're extremely unhealthy with these fast foods and packaged foods and things like that. And, you know, one thing I've always wanted to do with my kids, I don't want to not let them have things, but understand how to do things in moderation, mm-hmm. you know? So we have Oreo cookies in our cupboard, you know, we have some sugar cereal. But I've taught them, like, you have to eat the good stuff first. Mm-hmm. And then if you want a little bit of the bad stuff, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure that you're getting the good stuff in. And they're very aware of that. And they also have learned, as they've gotten older, understanding that their performance depends on how they eat. Mm-hmm. So if they want to perform really well in the baseball game that we got going on, they're going to make sure they get their nutrition in for that. Mm-hmm. If they want to do really well on the powerlifting meet coming up, like, they're focused in on their protein. And then afterwards they take a break, you know, probably don't eat so good for a while, but then when they start getting back amped up into something, they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. My son the other day, actually, he got himself some cereal, but then he dumped like egg whites and stuff into it too. And he was like, he's like, no, really? He's like, it doesn't taste bad at all. And he's like, that way I got protein in with the sugar anyway. So I was like, okay, sounds good.
That's awesome.
Whatever you want to do. So cool. I mean, so.
Yeah. Well, it's like, right, just tonight, like my kids, they're in their playoffs for their varsity high school baseball. And so like on days they don't have games, I'll get a text from my son, Brody, we're going to have some additional guests tonight for dinner because they'll go across the street and play wiffle ball because they uh-huh. love playing wiffle ball. So they'll load up some steam, have fun, play wiffle ball. Then all of a sudden I got six extra kids to feed. So I just got done. I made spaghetti tonight because it was easy. But when they were eating, I was like, well, so you're eating bison burger and protein noodles and some organic tomato sauce. How do you like it? And they're like, they're getting seconds and thirds. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, it's incredible. Whatever. I think some parents think that because something is touted healthy, a kid automatically isn't going to like it. But mm-hmm. really, honestly, when you start putting that stuff in front of them, it's pretty incredible. They're down for it anyways. So
yeah. And I had made like, green beans. I made fresh green beans. Those were the first thing to go. Was the
That's
green.
Awesome.
I made like a giant bowl and I'm like, everyone, I always still tell you this because when my kids were little, I'd make them have a no thank you bite. So they had to taste it. But then after one bite, they could say no thank you. And that was fine. But we, you know, you're supposed to make them try at least 10 times. Usually by the end, they like it.
Yeah.
So I tell all these big, huge 6-foot high school kids, I'm like, everyone's got to take a no thank you bite of those green beans. And they're like, what? And I'm like, everybody. And the kids will look at them. They're like, she's serious. Put them on your plate.
That's awesome. I love that. That's so cool. I love hearing this too, because it's fun from other athletes and other people that are into the fitness space and health space to see what's going on. Because I think people are so quick to say, oh, well, this just won't work, but really you never know till you try it. And I mean, yeah.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, I think kids would prefer a home cooked meal over going to like Chick-fil-A or wherever mm-hmm. fast food they are. So they get really kind of geeked when they all get to come over and eat a huge meal together and they have a lot of fun. But I would do it every night if we could, if it kept them from going out to like Jersey Mike's, mm-hmm. you know, that stuff's just gross.
I love it. Well, so I want to rewind here just a little bit. I mean, what triggered you to get into powerlifting?
Oh boy. Well, mostly my husband. I was a runner. I was a long distance runner in high school. But we did have this class in high school called Marine Fitness. And it was like doing the Marine Fitness test where you had to do 100 sit-ups in like 2 minutes. I think you had to do 100 push-ups in 2 minutes. Then there was 30 pull-ups. And there was like a standing broad jump and a shuttle run. And so it was all boys. There was not one girl in this class. And so my friend in high school was like, let's take this class. I'll be the only girls. And I was real shy in high school and just, I really lacked self-esteem, you know? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, come on, do it with me. So we did. And so we took it every semester in high school. And I loved it because we did rope climbs, we did stadium runs, we did all sorts of like probably early CrossFit stuff before CrossFit was big. And like I could do 20 some pull-ups, you know, in high school, and we started getting a little muscle, you know. We didn't even have a weight room in high school. That's how like far behind everything was. So like I liked that. I did the running just because I liked the competition part. And then if you were just gritty enough. And if you tried harder, you could be pretty successful. Like, so I just figured I could take the pain longer than anyone else and maybe win a few races here and there. But then when I got in college, I met my husband. He was just friends of friends, and they had a weight room in the basement of our rental house when we were in college. He got interested in weights in the Army. And so every day he would say, Jen, why don't you come down and lift with us? I'm like, no, I'm going to go run my 5 miles. I'll be back. And, you know, you guys just have fun down there. You know, like I was all boys and college kids. And every day, like, Jen, come on and lift with us. And I'm like, well, one day I said yes. And that was it.
And then you were super buff because you were training with the boys only, right?
Right. And Donovan told me that if I bench pressed, because I never had boobs, he said, if you bench press, you'll get cleavage and bigger boobs.
So then you're like,
okay, I'll give it a try. My mom used to tell me avocados gave you big boobs. So I ate lots of avocados and that did not work.
Oh my gosh. So bench press and avocados.
It was perfect. Bench presses. I get, you know, they're kind of firm, but have, you know, a nice cleavage. I can make a move now. I can bounce them to music. It's great.
There's the secret right now. There, like, now everybody, you have heard it. That is the secret. It is just bench pressing and avocados. That's it.
Bench pressing avocados. So give you something if you got nothing.
So when did you decide you wanted to compete?
Well, I knew like I was getting strong. So I was working out with all guys. There weren't any girls. And I was getting to where like I was doing what some of the guys were doing. You know, they had to take off less and less weight for me. And so, and I was, you know, I could tell my biceps were getting toned. I was getting the chest. You know, I was like, I could see my body taking shape because I was just like a stick-like girl. Like I was just a small, tiny, no shape, just skinny. Runner girl. So I was really liking that. And at the time, like fitness was huge. Like they had bodybuilding, which I just didn't want to, because you saw all those humongous women that didn't look like women, you know? So, you know, and there wasn't the internet. It was just what you saw on TV and a magazine. So it probably wasn't a fair representation of the sport, but it's what you saw. So I knew I was shy too. So I didn't want to get on stage in a bikini in front of somebody. And then the fitness, I thought was appealing, but I have no skill at all. And you have to have like a skill, whether it's like acrobatics or something like that. I can somersault. That's it. And so the whole time I'm like, I'm getting this strength. I'm getting strong. I did not know like you could do anything with it. Like those two sports just didn't fit for me. And so we, Donovan and I ended up getting married. We went to Venice Beach for our honeymoon and they had a bench press competition on the, on Venice Beach, like in the open area there. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they did this, you know? And so we watched it and then we went up and talked to a couple of guys. And again, this is, I mean, the internet was around, but like you didn't use it a lot because it took you like 8 minutes to load a page, you know, no one knew anything. You know, you got all your information from newspapers and magazines. So they were like, you got to get in the back of this magazine and they list all the competitions and then you just got to sign up and go to one. So I was like, okay. And so there was like everything, there's 8 million federations for one sport. So one was called USA Powerlifting. I'm like, well, that makes sense. It sounds like it's the country sport because it says USA Powerlifting. So I'll just choose that one. And I think it was probably about a year later, I did my first one. It was in like a high school gym and boy, was it a mess. I like almost bombed out of my squats. I think it was like 186 pounds. I like the first one I cut real high. The second one I fell backwards into the spotter. And then I think the third one, they just gave it to me. I don't think I actually got it.
They don't consolation prize.
I think it was a consolation prize for sure. And then like I benched like, I don't know, 205. And people were like, what?
Holy cow.
And then I learned how to deadlift like the night before. And I deadlifted like 305. And I have pictures of it. I'm in like basketball shoes deadlifting. It's so funny.
Wow. That's awesome.
But like you said, you know, I met a bunch of really cool people like that were way into the sport and they're totally helping me and saying, you should do this now. And you just broke the American record in the bench press. Where'd you come from? Now you need to do this and do that. And so it just kind of started. I mean, 1 year later I was at the World Championships. I took third, you know.
Wow.
And I had no idea it was that strong. I mean, it was getting strong, but like I had nothing to compare it to.
And then it was only up from there, right?
Oh yeah. Like every year I just got a little stronger, a little smarter, you know, like in the beginning, like I had no idea about nutrition and diet and that you really need to get good sleep. like I was just, you know, we would, you know, go out and party all night and the next day we would get a workout in, like stuff like that. It's just dumb. But what do we know? Nothing.
Well, so going back to that, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned along this journey? Things that you didn't think mattered when you started, but now you realize they are huge factors in your overall performance.
Well, technique is the biggest one for sure. Like, and then you just, I mean, back then you just, there was, we didn't have YouTube, you know, there was just no information. Like it, you would, you'd have to, and even coaches weren't, there's no online coaching. So Muscle and Fitness magazine was pretty much it. And then whoever you got to talk to at a powerlifting meet, I mean, that was your only way of really, so a lot of it, we just sort of figured out on our own through a lot of trial and error. But like the bench was something like just that we always loved because it was like a measure of strength back then. If you were to walk up to someone and say this person's strong, you would say, well, how much do they bench? Like that was like the measure of strength. So like we spent a lot of time benching.
Well, so it's funny you say that because when I was a bodybuilder, everybody asked me how much I benched and I was like, hey bro, I don't bench press. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. Like the first time I actually even benched was at that conference last year in like, probably like 8 years, 9 years. Like that was the first time, you know, and here Isabel, she's also like, well-known in the powerlifting. She's telling me what to do. And I'm like, wait, I don't bench press. She's like, what do you lift normally? I'm like, I don't bench press, you guys. Next thing you know, they've got me jammed into a bench shirt and I'm benching. I was benching.
It is funny because I just did this post, you know, with Squat University and some of the comments just cracked me up. And so like this bodybuilder was on there commenting. He's like, this is clearly just for power. How would you set up for bodybuilding with this? I'm like, if you're a bodybuilder, why are you even doing this? Like, what should not be in your routine at all? If you're a bodybuilder, there's much better ways to build up your pecs. It just cracks me up that people, you know, the goofy shit they say on there.
Well, and that's always fun as a female or, you know, I mean, I've noticed that, you know, you'll be benching something and like, we were doing some board work and somebody's like, oh, not one rep even happened. And it's like, well, clearly you don't know how this works, buddy. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And then like, when you get a bench arch, they're like, oh, that's not safe to have your lower back off the bench.
Yeah, that is, you're going to hurt your back. Your hips too wide. You're going to hurt your shoulders. I'm like, okay, buddy.
It's like, well, do you know who you're talking to here? You're like,
would be, you know what I would love? Like every time someone comments something, it said their age next to their handle. Like, because I really feel like it's like, I'm like, is this like a really old person or is this like a 12-year-old that's arguing with me?
I know. Well, the one that really gets me is I get all this, the flack. I mean, I have an extreme bench arch for multiple reasons, but I get all this flack and I from my bench arch, which is beautiful in the powerlifting world, right? But then I have the worst deadlift on the planet. I'm working on it and nobody says a word about that. It's okay, that's fine, you know.
Oh, if you're sumo, you're cheating. That's about all they're gonna say.
Yep. So anyway, that's funny. But
somebody, one of my kids came up to me and, you know, Chris Bunstad is you know, he's a bit the number one bodybuilder probably right now. He said, Mrs. Thompson, Chris Bumstead said sumo deadlifting is cheating. I'm like, he's a bodybuilder. Why are you listening to what he says? Like, he's nothing about deadlifting. He's not deadlifting. Why are you using him as a measure of expertise here? He doesn't know anything about powerlifting.
Oh, funny. Well, anyway, we got off on a tangent there, but back which is easy to do, right? But back to like, so out of all of the things that you are learned, what are some of the most important ones?
For powerlifting, like depending on your weight class you're in, you might end up doing some dieting to be down in a weight class. And pretty much my whole entire career till like this very moment, I've had to cut weight for, to get my weight class, you know, cause it's just, I was right on the cusp really. And so I've learned a lot, much better, healthier techniques. I mean, we used to just, not eat and sit in a sauna for as long as we could to make weight. And then you would weigh in and then you'd feel horrible the next day and try to lift like that. So clearly that is not a healthy way to cut weight and move in, you know, wetsuits, you know, saunas, whirlpools, things like that. So we did a lot of unhealthy probably things now, but that definitely was a no. We definitely learned, because a lot of the meets were international, we learned how to travel better. And that was a big learning curve too, with as far as like how to get your sleep on track, how to eat, bring food with you to eat your food, not their food. And just the time change. And so being a better traveler helped me much better at Worlds. But sleep probably is probably the number one thing, I think. Mm-hmm. I learned that I'm a napper and I need a nap to feel good, honestly, to feel good and to have good workouts. Like I have to have 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. And then I need a 20-minute nap during the day. And I don't care where it is. It could be in my car. It could be in a classroom. It could be in a baseball game. It doesn't matter. I get it in. But I think it's one of the reasons, the nutrition and the sleep is one of the reasons that I'm still competitive at 48 years old. You know?
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to bring up. I mean, well, we all know now sleep, or some of us anyways, are smart enough to understand that sleep is a huge factor. And I mean, that sleep when you're dead or grind, and who cares how much sleep you get, just so you get up and get your workout in, is actually totally bunk, because if you don't get deep sleep, you can't recover and then you're not making gains. But you said something about your age there and stuff. You're still setting world records at 48 years old. Like it just keeps getting better.
I'll be 49 next month. I'm knocking on 50 pretty soon here.
I'm going to give my coach some crap because he's 48, turning 49 in a couple of weeks as well. And he's always, today he said he was going to go to the rest home. He was like,
and I'll tell you what, I don't feel 48. Like I still, I can honestly say I still feel as good as I did in my 30s. I don't feel, and I certainly don't think I look. No, I'm just kidding. But I look at some other women my age, I'm like, wow.
Exactly. And that's the thing, the blessing with fitness and keeping active and doing all the things that we do, is it helps your longevity out immensely.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think the other, obviously the big curve is just training and programming and learning how to do it well. I mean, we used to train hot all the time, you know, and we get burnout. You weren't sleeping well because you were so overtrained half the time. So, I mean, technique, form, and then I would say programming really has been the top two things that we've done. And really our programming's always been different. I've always trained almost quasi like a bodybuilder. A lot of people confuse, and now they actually have a name for it, power build. But I'm really upset I didn't coin that back in 1990s. Because I was power building. I just didn't know to call it that. But we rely, so I mean, we focus on the big lifts, but we really rely a lot on the accessories, mostly because I find that fun. But when you're building up pieces of the bigger lift and you're making your entire body strong, not just the squat, bench, deadlift. I mean, you don't use a lot of shoulders in powerlifting, but I work out my shoulders, you know, and it doesn't matter to me. I want to look good. I want to look symmetrical, which is kind of why I got in the first place, but be super strong at the same time. So we've been doing a lot of, you know, we don't squat, we squat, bench, and deadlift one time a week. And all the rest of it is a building up accessories run. And I think that's too, why we can train at kind of a high level compared to other ones, like train really heavy weight for probably longer periods of time, because like, you know, you're doing a lockout with heavy weight. So you're only doing part of the rep, you know, or you're doing, you know, like a rack pull or things like that. So, mostly I've done it just because I need variety, and I need ever changing things. I need motivation. I can't just go do the same thing every day, you know, but I think in the end, when you start looking at some of these more progressive programs, they're starting to catch on that accessories really are the key.
Yeah, no, it's a huge, huge piece of the puzzle. And then not overtraining, like you said. I mean, some people have this more is more mentality, right? And that kills your progress 100%, I think.
Yeah, for a long time, like we just start taking more rest and more rest. And ironically, we're getting stronger and stronger every time we're taking a little more rest. And then, you know, even though we work out for 2 hours, I rest a lot between my sets. I take good bit of break so that I can like power through a set, and then I let my body relax and recover, and then I go to another one. So it's they're long, but they're mostly long because we're making sure that we're fully recovered before we hit the next set. And then we're doing two workouts on, two workouts off. constantly on an 8-day cycle. And now we're playing around with doing a 7-day cycle, but reducing some of what we're doing. So I'm always changing it up and trying new things.
So tell us about how your app works and stuff then, because I know you have that stuff going on and that could be something of interest to the audience as well.
Oh yeah. Well, I love the app because it's actually, we're having our 1-year anniversary right now. It's been out for 1 year now, and boy, they've made some really fun, awesome, exciting changes to the app. It's constantly adding more new features to it. And I myself am not like a real tech savvy person. Mm-hmm. And so if I can do it, I figure most people can do it because things are not intuitive to this girl right here when I do things like that. So it's got like 9 programs on there. So, you know, one will fit you, I'm sure. Whether you're like getting ready for a competition or you're just like a weekend warrior, you want to get strong, or you just want to gain some strength or do a hypertrophy. I even have my kids' workouts on there, like a teenager type workout. I have some shorter workouts if you want to just work one particular weakness. But anyway, I mean, you can pick one and then you just add it to the calendar, and you can add it day by day, which is what I do because I don't always lift on the same days all the time. So every day you work out, you just click that day and it loads all your exercises for you and what your reps should be, and then gives you an idea of the weight. And then each exercise has a video, because I feel like most people don't do the exercises right. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing it right, well, then you're really wasting a lot of time. You're not hitting the muscles that you're intending to get strong. Mm-hmm. So that was super important to me, was to have short, quick instructional videos to make sure that they're doing it in the correct way. Mm-hmm. And then of course, if you're like a data person, it's cool because like you can look and see what was my heaviest squat ever? What was my heaviest double? Have I done this double before? And so it gives you all sorts of data and statistics. But one thing I like too is the readiness one, because I think is important, like where you're doing like a little checklist, like, are you recovering? Mm-hmm. Because you may need to add in an extra day, or you may need to add more carbs into your diet or something if you're not recovering and not sleeping well. So it makes you think about those things every mm-hmm. time you get in there and do that, which is something, I mean, I would just sort of did intuitively, but I find now that I have the app and it makes me look at them, I'm a little bit more focused and thinking more towards, am I resting? Am I recovering? Am I getting ready? Because that's where injury comes to play, right? Mm-hmm. When you are cooked, you're overdone, you've pushed yourself too far, your body is just tired. And then you're trying to ask more and more and more out of it. That's when you pull a muscle or something goes wrong. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when you're talking about rest, you know, that's another thing for sure. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not very expensive. It's just $29 a month.
Yeah.
But you can do it for $1 right now.
Nope. Oh. Well, how do my listeners find that then?
Well, it's all over my social media, but I have a website, it's 132poundsofpower.com, because that used to be my weight class when I first started. It was 132. So my husband made me a website way back when the internet was starting to get big. So far, mostly so my family could keep up with what I was doing, you know, because we didn't live next to them. So, but anyway, I put everything on there. So you can go on there and see it, or on any of my social media, I have Linktree and stuff like that. But I've loved it because I think a lot of people, this is basically, you know, I do a lot of seminars. I don't necessarily coach a lot of people one-on-one. I help coach those who have my app. We have a little community that we all belong to, and I give advice and things like that. But I feel like most people don't work out as hard as they should. Like they think they're working out hard, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Like there's that extra gear that you can push yourself to. And so usually the comments I get on my app in the very beginning, they're like, this is kind of hard. But then like 4 weeks later, they're like, I'm hitting PRs and I'm so strong. This is great.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hang in there. It'll be okay. But that is interesting to me, because like I did online coaching for a year when we were in lockdown. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I'll give this a try and see if this is something for me, which it wasn't. I enjoyed doing it for the year, but I'm like, this is not where I feel like I'm meant to be. But I enjoyed the Zooms and like the coaching the people. And I'm like, you've got more there. You've got more there. And as much as I'm not a huge advocate of the RPE.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
But I can see where if you're just thinking about, not that you should share it with anyone, and I realize it's supposed to be a coaching thing, but like, if they think they're like an RP of 8, I'm like, that's like a 5, dude. More. There is a couple ways you could use it. Like, I don't use it myself, but for other people, I guess it is like a little bit of a way to say like, you need to push harder. Mm-hmm. Although I think you could just say you need to push harder instead of saying go 9.
Mm-hmm. Or how about reps in reserve?
Yeah.
It's like, I was doing some reps in reserve training for a while there. And I'm like, really, how many reps did I actually have in reserve? I don't know. I didn't go there. Like,
I feel like it's so subjective, you know, and it really makes me chuckle when people like they'll post like a PR lift. They're struggling the whole way. And they're like, RPE 7, baby. I'm like, dude, that was not a 7.
That was a grind.
That was a grind. I do find it a little bit funny.
Well, and I did actually make a post on that not long ago too. And then there's the people that do go to work out and maybe they even have a coach and maybe they have athletic goals, but they're just going through the motions. They're not, there's a whole other level of things that have to happen if you want to perform. I mean, there's a mental level. I mean, talk about progressive overload and stuff. Mentally, you have to progressively overload, right? Like you have to connect with that muscle and be like, okay, this is the muscle we're training. We're not just picking this up. We're literally like, okay, Mr. Bicep, wake up and tow this load right now.
And it is funny because it seems like such a simple thing, but I have like a lot of people, you know, I always talk about how you have to flare your lats when you're bench pressing. And a lot of people are like, I don't understand how to do that. And I'm like, the first step is thinking lats flare, like send a signal with your, and it sounds so stupid and so simple, but it's like, if you start thinking about before you know it, okay, I can get them to go, but you actually have to try to direct them because it's not something you're used to doing. So it is something I find it interesting. Like it's just, sometimes you've got to tell your body, okay, at this point, I want my lats to flare. Okay. Think about them, tell them to flex, tell them to move. And like, lo and behold, it works.
That's awesome. Well, if people want to find you on social media, how do they do that?
Everything's Jen Thompson 132. The only thing I don't do is I don't snap because I've just never got that app. And I've just never, like I told you, the technology thing, we've just never hooked up correct. I've never figured out how to use it correctly. I just gave up on it. So I do the Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. It's 132 pounds of power with bench press tutorials that I do from, I did a 101 to a 501. It's amazing. You can talk that much about the bench press, but you can. And then I have a TikTok that's taken off also, which is pretty fun too. I saw that.
I started one. Cause I was like, I hate being on technology. Probably I could have done better with my social media had I have done something with it, but I don't. So I was like, well, I'll get a TikTok. I can't figure out how to use it. So don't find me on TikTok if you're looking like it's not good. It's not pretty at all. So
TikTok is like an interesting thing. Cause like, I feel like most of them just want to watch something funny or entertaining. It's not really like, I don't know how many people really use it for something informational. Cause like anytime I post like an informational post, it's like, but then if I post a big lift, it's like goes crazy.
Dude. Yeah. I notice when I equip lift and I'm pushing some serious weight, that's when it's like, bing, 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 you know, like,
yeah. And it's interesting if you can just post something somewhat controversial, whether it's the bench arch or whatever, like if you can get people like commenting back and forth and they get angry and they get in fights in the comments, but all it does is make your video go up, 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 up. So once I stopped being offended that people were like saying negative things, I'm like, oh, this is making me money. Keep talking, say something else.
Oh my goodness. I've been saying that same exact thing to my coach and some of my teammates, cause they'll get on there and they'll start like
get mad
defending me.
Yeah.
And I was like, keep it coming, baby. Let's go.
Once you get that understanding, then it's like, okay. But like if before that, I was like, why these people are so effing mean? I don't think I'm going to stay on this app.
Yeah.
But then you kind of sort of see the hilarity of it all. And I'm like, whatever, this is great.
Well, it has been so awesome chatting with you about all the things, and people should go follow you because you guys are funny. I love seeing what you have, and everything on your stuff is positive. Like there's no crazy, we're not doing any fitness Instagram crap here. Like this is good stuff. Good, wholehearted fitness fun.
I do love when I get comments back. They're like, I tried this and it worked, or this was great, or thanks for sharing that. And I just feel like, you know, that's just my piece of giving back to growing women's strength sports, you know, and it's just fun. It's not a job. It's not something I'm trying to make money off of, really. It's just something that's fun to do.
So if there are females listening to this podcast and they've been thinking about getting in the gym, do you have any words of advice for them?
Well, I guess it kind of depends on your personality a little bit, but the resources that are available now are like huge, right? So you could definitely, I mean, if you wanted to hire a coach, you could, but odds are, like, if you just go up to the biggest guy in the gym and say, hey, can you help me with that? They're totally going to do it. Like, that's what I do. When I go in the gym, I find the biggest, scariest dude. I'm like, can you spot me? And he's like, yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the nicest guys. They're excited about what they're doing and they're happy to share with you. So go find people that look like they know what they're doing. Don't be intimidated by them. Their odds are they're going to be happy to talk about their most favorite subject.
I agree. People get so intimidated when they're getting into the gym. And I'm like, most of the people there, they want to help. They seriously do. They're like passionate about it.
This is their zone. They love it. There's something they're passionate about, you know, and they're happy to share it with people. So don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to judge you. Like, unless you're doing like a quarter squat, you might get judged. But
yeah. Or the leg press that has like 17 plates on it. And then you only let it down like 3 inches. Then I might judge you.
Then you might get a little judgy. But other than that, like if you're in there just trying, people are going to be encouraging and applauding you for getting out there.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'll put all your info in the show notes. It's been awesome.
Thank you. I love being on here and I just, glad that we got to be friends and I can't wait to do more things with you in the future.
I know, I'm excited. Well, thanks for tuning in. For further information about me and my programs, as well as free recipes and other health tips, please visit www.ConnieNightingale.com or find me on Instagram at ConnieBegani. I want to remind you that any opinions or views expressed in this podcast are their own and that they are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or condition. This show is not intended to replace your regular health care. Please consult with your current primary care provider before changing any of your diet, exercise, or medical protocols. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next time.